Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Again, starts now. 28 seconds after the hour of noon, and this the month of May in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day live, my friends. Live. Not from Emmerich's, not from tape, not from a nondescript box sitting in the corner of the studio. Live from Portland. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Broadcasting from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Proud part of the CBS Radio family. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. Sarah's shoving a huge cylindrical tube of meat into her mouth right now.
It's free.
It's free.
It's Cinco de Mayo and everybody's drunk. Not really, Laura Klein in Human Resources. There is a big pile of meat in the kitchen, though. Everybody go on
boy.
By. Tim, have some meat.
No, that's quite all right. I think I'll pass on the meat.
It's radio meat.
The best kind. Sir Dylan actually has two plates of food over there. She's eating all the way into next week. Well, the next holiday is Memorial Day weekend, so that's going to hold her for 3 months.
You never know when you're going to get another check for the IBEW. Eat now.
Seriously, as soon as it says free, I'm, like, stuffing myself.
Trying to build up a hump for the winter. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are here. Scotty J is in the house. Call him. Make his life miserable. 503-733-2970. You want to email us, rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Daly is going to be here from Film Fever Radio. We will launch an exciting new a bit here on the Rick Emerson Show, an exciting new bit of radio entertainment, because it's what we do. We're never keeping things simple, static, ordinary, the same, dull, predictable. We're constantly launching new bits of whimsicality at you through your speaker, because it's what we do. We have the big news pile we're going to get to later on today. Gary Baumgarten is going to be here. I'm going to get him to throw rocks at David Blaine. David Blaine is sitting there floating fetus-like inside a big tube or vial or glass or sphere full of something at Rockefeller Center. I'm going to see if I can get CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten to go up and throw something heavy and scary at the glass. Coming up at 12:30, Bob Costantini is going to be here. We're going to talk about Kennedys and car crashes. It's just like old times. We're talking about Kennedy's car crashes, watery red eyes, drunken slurred speech, and I think an empty bottle of pills. It's all good things. What else do we have? Religious Nutcase Watch, Geek Watch, Cannibal Watch, Britney Watch. I'm telling you right now, we're not going to get the 1/9 of this.
We need a 5-hour show.
We really do.
Or a morning show.
And more money. And another tube of meat for Sarah.
And we need to play Battle of the Sexes.
And we need to do 9 songs an hour. And suck. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. What else do we have here? Let's see. Let me go through this. Questions about the Tim Riley factor. We have this.
I haven't even thought about the Tim Riley factor in quite some time.
I saw a picture of the Tim Riley factor. We have that Wikipedia entry, you know. And you actually have your own.
I know.
Tim Riley has his own entry in Wikipedia.
Well, we have, like, several different ones relating to the show.
It's because we're all that. And there's this picture of the Tim Riley factor in action. And it's a Billy Reed's, and I can tell it's
Kristen from Accounting's in that.
Not the White Trash. It's the one that never had a name. It's not the White Trash Barbecue. But remember, it was the third one that was not named. We never came up with a name for it.
Was it Richard Nunn's birthday?
But it was like 190 degrees. It was in July. It's where Andrea the Virgin.
I remember that the air conditioning broke, and all there was like one fan.
And yeah, and Andrea the Virgin fell on her face in the parking lot.
After trying to grope you.
I love you, Rick! And there's a picture of Sarah, Kristen, drunk, me, sweaty and bald-looking, and then a pregnant sound woman that's standing behind us. It's like the worst picture of the Tim Riley factor ever taken, as opposed to the many, many good ones. So, well, we'll talk about that later. And then I've got this awkward story here for Scott Daly. Because it's exactly the kind of story we like, where it's a kind of a listy story about films, or films, as the British say. But it's all awkward because it's a list of the 10...
10 what?
The 10...
Commandments.
No. It's a list of the 10, quote, sexiest scenes from the movies.
Sexy. That's from VH1.
Which is all awkward if it's me and Scott Daly and Sarah just sitting in here. Because then Scott and I start to give each other long, lingering looks, and then there's somebody giving somebody else a back rub. Anyway, so there's that. And more, ladies and gentlemen. Shoveling food into her mouth as fast as her two hands will take it. Sarah X. Dillon at the helm, the nerve center, the control center, the nucleus, the linchpin, the command post here at the Rick Emerson Show. How are you today?
Doing swell.
How's that $800 check treating you?
It's good.
Is it residing in your bank account?
Not yet.
You spend any? You haven't even cashed it. Are you just clutching it, looking at it, stroking it?
I did kind of look at it for a while yesterday.
It framed it, put it up on a wall?
No.
Okay.
I'm very happy with it.
Yes, I imagine you would be. I wouldn't know since my check was $73. Moving along, here's Tim Riley working on the following stories for your edification.
There's been another resignation of a major player in Washington.
Yes.
Donald Rumsfeld will not go quietly into that and get scolded on TV. We'll hear it all.
Fantastic.
Kennedy crackups, the new batch. And most importantly, is Anna Nicole Smith pregnant?
So there you go. That all on the way today. We never did get to the "my skin was on fire" story. We'll try to do that. Today. And Scotty J, I know you're listening. I want to tell you right now, I've got the worst photo of you ever taken. I've got a photo so bad, you might actually just begin.
He thinks you're gonna cry.
I might actually weep like a little girl.
And the worst part is, one of your so-called friends sent it to us.
Yeah, one of your peeps.
One of your peeps, yo.
Send me this photo.
Hey, it was taken during the Hokey Pokey at one of his functions.
Of intern Cody J. It's the worst photo probably of anybody that's ever been taken anywhere.
You can't keep teasing us with this.
I've got to show it. I've got it. And here's the thing. It's not even a hard cut. It's up. All I have to do is hit the post button. It's all ready to go. All I have to do is wait for him to cross me. I just have to wait for him to wrong me in some way.
Do you have it pulled up now?
I don't. Well, I'll show it to you guys here in this hour. I'll show it to you, Tim, you, Sarah.
In this first chunk?
In this first, sometime like in the next segment.
Okay.
I'll show it to you.
Yay.
And then we'll just wait. We'll see how lightly he walks today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior at the city desk. It's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour.
Listen to that.
And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim, reporting our top story. There's been another major resignation in Washington. Porter Goss has resigned as head of the CIA. In an Oval Office announcement, the president praised his efforts.
He's given me his candid advice. I appreciate his integrity. I appreciate the honor that he brought to the job.
Porter Goss doesn't even sound like somebody's name. Porter Goss sounds like some strange cut of steak.
Yeah.
Or it sounds like the name of a propane company that would be somewhere. I don't know what did he do? He headed what?
The CIA.
See, the CIA. Now, did he resign or? Let me ask you this.
He resigned.
Did he resign? Yeah, was he fired or did he?
We really don't know.
Resigned. So we don't know whether he was forced out, whether he was. They just gave him the wink and the nod in the back office.
He was pushed out by a Kennedy.
Maybe.
While crossing the street.
No, because Bush's dad, because George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush the first, was the head of the CIA. So you know, and I'm not being paranoid, we can say that this is probably a truism. We know that the Bush family and the CIA probably have very close ties.
There's sort of a kinship,
a camaraderie there. And so for this guy to resign, because it doesn't look good when anybody's resigning at any time during a presidency, because you get the feeling that everybody's just heading for the door, because nobody wants to be the last one there holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like you don't want to be the last guy who's in the office, because then Bush is going to ask you to help carry his stuff out or whatever, and you don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Congressman Patrick Kennedy, you never heard of him before because he's never been in trouble before. Well, he is the son of Ted Kennedy.
Like, we should be shocked by this.
The story just writes itself.
Born with fetal alcohol syndrome.
Oh, you're kidding me?
No, I'm not sure. But probably, more than likely. You know how Joan is. Well, you have to live in New England, I guess.
No, I do. I'm just... I just didn't really know you were going to say that.
She's been acquainted with just about every male member of society in New England.
She and Kitty Dukakis go out and buy bottles of rubbing alcohol at the same store.
They do.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently he smacked his car, which is a Mustang, into an embankment. And it was a combination of prescription drugs and not alcohol. He was using something because he had an upset stomach and mixed it with Ambien, which is a sleep medication.
Ambien, which is that thing that we talked about. What? There was some story a few weeks ago where somebody was on Ambien because we started talking about
it. But it wasn't a Kennedy, so it doesn't matter.
And Rob from the House of Rick called him. He's like, I got Ambien. Do you want Ambien? Kid, I'll get you some Ambien. Because Ambien sounds like a fantastic drug. Every time I've taken sleeping pills, sleeping medication, it's the best time of my life. All good things come from... I'm not telling you to abuse your body.
I'm saying
if you're... No, because NyQuil's not a... It's not mellow. It's not a mellow high. NyQuil just makes you feel bad. NyQuil just makes you feel drunk. I mean, it's not even a good drunk, I don't think. It's just sort of a... I drink NyQuil, and the next day, I just feel like I got a squirrel living in my mouth. You know what I mean? You just all...
You'd make a lousy Kennedy.
I'd make, yes. So, but we had some story the other day about Ambien. All right, anyway, so he was on Ambien and something.
So this crash occurs at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was so disoriented that he drove back to the Capitol thinking he had to vote. Here is Police Chief Louis Cannon.
The officer is on the scene, as my understanding, smelled a note of alcohol about him, and based on his demeanor...
And his last name.
And their experience believed him to be intoxicated.
So after the crash, he was not given a sobriety test and was driven home. Cannon thinks he was given preferential treatment.
I'm sorry. Right.
That's the next one. That's number three.
I think that because of who he is, I think courtesies were extended.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
I don't understand how this works because I'm not a lawbreaker. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
You're not
I'm not a Kennedy.
You're a Catholic, though.
I have a friend of mine, and I, too, reek of alcohol. I have a friend of mine. And this is not code for something. This really is a friend of mine. But the friend shall remain nameless. And the friend wanted to know what happens in Oregon if you refuse a breathalyzer test. Is it that they arrest you or they take your license or they impound your car or some combination of the above?
Watch
Sarah?
The phones light up.
I don't know. I think they arrest you.
I think they take you into custody because this friend was like... Because the friend...
Well, don't they have to have reasonable doubt, don't they?
I don't know. Here's the thing. My friend, again, this really is a friend. It's not me or anybody else at CBS Radio. Although any number of the sales staff might find this information informative and useful. Mm-hmm. The friend of mine, though, does not believe in the accuracy of breathalyzers. Which is, to be fair, they are notorious for being inaccurate, because there's any number of things you can do to screw up a breathalyzer. The friend of mine does not believe in the accuracy of breathalyzers, and here are the phones. And so my friend was like, well, look, if they pull me over because they think that I'm drunk or they think I'm doing whatever, he's like, I don't want to just take the breathalyzer because I don't think that they're accurate and I want to use it against me. But on the other hand, he's like, are they going to arrest me? Are they going to take my car? Are they going to take away my license? Or is it all three, none of the above, some combination of the above? So... If you know the answer to this question, and this does have relevance because Kennedy didn't do anything new. They didn't do jack. They just drove him home.
Yeah.
I'd like to be drunk driving at a police. I wouldn't like to drunk drive, but you know what I'm saying? I'd like to have the police just sort of walk me home and give me a glass of warm milk and find me a hooker when they take me home for the night. What kind of world are we living in? So, let's see. We'll get the answer to that in just a second. Let's continue with this Kennedy story.
Well, Kennedy himself claims he wasn't treated in a special way, just because he's from a famous family.
I never asked for any preferential treatment.
Do you need to receive it, do you think?
That's up for the police to decide, and I'm going to cooperate fully.
As Gabel says, I have been a bad little boy.
He has a documented history of drug and alcohol problems, as do most Kennedys. Comes from the days back in the cradle.
No, it's...
Grandma used to rock him on his knee.
And then dose him with wild turkey. Let's see. Let's go to line one, Lauren.
Yes.
This is Lauren of the bunny suit. Hey, I got a bone to pick with you, by the way.
What's that?
You are, I'm not getting distracted here, but you are, you make candles.
I do.
All right. And so you gave me a large brown candle a while back that...
Oh, I still have the one he made for me.
Supposedly smells of coffee.
Yes.
Here's the thing. For the longest time, like many candles, that was just sort of decorative in my house. You know, I just sat there, and it was just sort of, you know, it was on like a little candle holder, and it was just sort of there to, you know, to look cool. But then we had some kind of funk going on in the kitchen for some reason, the bad spinach or whatever. And we decided to light the candle, right?
Right.
So here's the thing. I light the candle, which is about, I would guess, 7 inches around. It's a large candle.
Explode?
No, I came back, though, and the entire candle was in flames.
Wow,
literally,
literally,
not just the wick.
Hey, thanks for the advertisement for my candles.
This is a candle that's about the circumference of a large, large coffee cup. I come back into the kitchen. It's sitting, thank God, on a Formica countertop. I come back, whole candle.
Well, that's rather bizarre.
It was rather disturbing.
Happening, honestly, with any of my candles.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Now every teenager out there wants one.
But you made it out alive.
Yeah, yes. Yes, but anyway, so, okay, now, what is the deal in Oregon when you get pulled over on suspicion of DUI?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I talked to a lawyer friend of mine about this a little while ago.
No.
If you refuse a breathalyzer, they automatically suspend your license. No questions asked.
Now, automatically suspend it for an indefinite period of time?
A minimum of a year.
You're kidding me.
No, it's and then what they do is they will impound your car and they will arrest you.
That's crazy.
It's totally stupid. You have no choice but to give into a breathalyzer.
Now, I don't want to turn this into a whole discussion about breathalyzer, but I have heard, and it seems to me that those are not accurate. Because it measures your breath, and so it seems to me, for instance, if they're getting ready to breathalyze you and you, not to be crude, but if they're breathalyzing you and you belch right beforehand, it's going to put a whole bunch of alcohol mist, you know, alcohol breath right back into your mouth, and it seems like you're going to ding higher.
Supposedly what it does, it actually, I guess, measures the amount of alcohol in your blood. Like, not actually in your breath.
No.
But see, the problem with that is, like...
The only thing that
when you drink, like, say you have one drink, you actually, if you don't drink at all, you're still, the level of alcohol in your system is actually going to increase over the course say an hour.
And I don't trust any assessment of my blood that doesn't involve, you know, using my actual blood. All right, well, that's a bunch of crap. All right, well...
Either that or they hobble you.
they give you the casino. You can take the money and the hammer, or you can get the hell out.
Exactly. You know, right. It's like there's really no good answer.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right. There you go. Candle almost burned my house down. I light it. I come back like 2 minutes later. And it's like a huge, flaming jet engine sitting on my countertop.
Wow.
Let's take one more. Luke, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, Luke?
Hey, what's up, Andy? I just want to comment on that DUI thing.
Yes.
What you tell them is you want to take the breathalyzer downtown. You don't refuse the one. You refuse the one, they give you...
Take me downtown.
The field one. The field one's always wrong, but the one downtown, and that gives you time, actually, to sober up a little bit.
Not that we're encouraging people to deceive the law, but you can ask to take it somewhere else, at least.
Yeah, they will impound your car, though, but they won't suspend your license. It happened to a buddy of mine a couple of years back, Yeah, he got off because he had only a couple beers, but he had just enough time to sober up, and they got him done.
I'm not advocating that people drink and drive because it makes you an a-hole, but I am saying that it does seem like these are overly draconian measures. All right, well, the key is to be born a Kennedy, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Always a Kennedy.
Thank you, Luke.
Right on, man.
All right, there you go. That's Luke. All right, so let's just recap. So yet another Kennedy who reeked of alcohol. And was taking multiple prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. Drove his car into an embankment.
Yes.
And then was just
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
On his way to
boat. On his way. Now, have we gotten to this part? Where was he driving to?
He was driving to the Capitol.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Because why?
He had something to vote on.
Because he thought it was time to vote on something. All right. So there you go. So actually so intoxicated that notions of time and space were warping inside his head.
At least he was showing up for work.
And at least he wasn't parking his car at the bottom of the river. And then the cops just took him home and tucked him into bed.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, kids. So maybe better luck next time around on the karmic circle for you. All right.
Vice President Cheney on the Lithuanian speaking tour. Because he has such a good agent, apparently. Accused Russian leader Vladimir Putin of restricting the rights of citizens and urged Moscow to stop using energy supplies for, quote, blackmail. He says Russia is heading in the wrong direction.
From religion and the news media to advocacy groups and political parties, the government has unfairly and improperly restricted the rights of her people.
What country is he talking about?
Russia.
Let's listen again, shall we? This is Dick Cheney.
From religion and the news media to advocacy groups and political parties, the government has unfairly and improperly restricted the rights of her people.
Right. The evil Russia is back. It's about time.
Insert your own. I've missed the evil Russia. I really have.
Too.
You know what I miss is I predict this, by the way. I'm making this prediction right now. I firmly believe, and I'm not trying to be crazy about it, I'm not trying to be all Clydey. I firmly believe that that whole region of the country, which wasn't doing all that well the last 80 years or whatever, has just gone to crap following the fall of the Soviet Union. I believe the Soviet Union will return. I believe there will. They may not call it that. It may not be the United Soviet Socialist Republics. But I do believe that all of those little countries that thought that they were going to function so well under perestroika and glasnost and capitalism, and it's all just chaos.
Right now, every one of that country is like a Kennedy.
Yes.
I firmly believe
that at least some of those countries will get together and they will decide this whole thing is too tough of a row to hoe. And we like it better the old ways when you had to wait in line, but at least the toilet paper was, you know, there.
Scowling people with iron teeth.
And so they're all going to band together, and they're going to create some sort of a union again. They are once again going to be a united countries, United States. I firmly believe it's going to happen, especially because, like, we tried to demonize China, and China just told us to pound it.
Well, they're the ones that have to buy our bonds to keep us going.
Yeah, China sends us all of our knickknacks, and they've got nuclear weapons. So no good pushing them around.
And that's where they make the George Foreman grills, by the way. You can only push them so far.
Kim Jong-il, he's obviously crazy, and we know he's screwing with that guy. And it's like we've blown up all the other little countries that we could pick fights with. We need the Soviet Union, a nice, stable, predictable bad guy to position ourselves against. This is sort of like, you know what I mean? The Soviet Union is the Lex Luthor.
We need a snarling bear back here.
To our Superman, yeah, because otherwise you've just, you know, otherwise it's going to be like those bad crossovers where Superman is fighting a polar bear or something, or the abominable snowman, and that's not going to be any good.
Madonna's about to appear topless in the magazine.
Hurrah! let me go get my goggles.
The 47-year-old is gonna. She's gonna take some racing snapshots.
I don't want her to
W magazine.
Please don't. Please, I urge you now. Do not take any more racy snapshots.
She's gonna be wearing fishnet stockings, leather gloves, and a riding crop.
Ew.
Okay.
She is dressed as an English horse rider, but there is a sexy twist.
No.
She has her boobs out.
I'm sorry, her what?
Boobs out.
God, we're 12.
Meanwhile, Madonna has been the center of attention after having a lesbian affair with Angelina Jolie.
Oh, honestly, who hasn't? And who hasn't Madonna had a lesbian affair with at this point? It's 2006, and she slept with everyone.
I'm going to go see her in concert Memorial Day weekend.
She's where? In Vegas?
Yeah, had a little extra money.
How many times have you seen her?
Jerks.
This is the second time.
I'm glossing right over that, by the way. You'll note that I'm not going to wallow in the... I'm glad that Cliff Davis could come through and get you guys Madonna tickets, you know, brand new platinum grill for your teeth, whatever it is.
Trip to New York.
Trip to New York, thanks.
You're welcome.
Meanwhile, I'll be in Milwaukee at a Pietro's Pizza somewhere.
Wisconsin?
No, not Wisconsin. No,
not
I'll be,
even the real Milwaukee?
No, I'll be sitting in Estacada somewhere, you know, like riding the roundup at some sort of ill-run carnival. So, there you go. All right. By the way, Madonna, note to you, it is no longer 1990. Quit dressing up like a dominatrix. That time has passed for you and for everyone. Just stop. Here's the thing about Madonna is she just... it's just the same lament that she used to have such a fine sense for when the right time for things was. Now that sense is gone.
Well, yeah, not the right time, but I mean, she's still doing pretty well for herself.
I'm not trying to dog on it. Clearly, she's very successful. All I'm saying is... Like, she had her finger on when the time was right to have a certain look. Because you remember when she did the Human Nature era?
Yeah.
Where she was, like, tight black hair, and then she had,
with
like,
the leather, the plastic outfit.
And the latex outfit, and she was all like, I didn't know we couldn't talk about sex. Yeah, and so... Gayest show ever. I just say it, and that was the time. It was right when she put out the sex book, and whatever, and everything. We were like, oh, it's so scandalous. And now it just seems creepy and sad. And she already was topless anyway. She was topless in like 90... God, when was that? Was that Playboy or Penthouse? She was topless in like 89, 87, something like that. Whatever, I don't care. Where are you staying? Where do you stay when you go to Vegas?
I stay at the cheapest place possible.
Excellent. Good for you.
Go to the Imperial Palace.
Go to the El Cortez.
I'm staying at the Tropicana this time.
Oh, the Tropicana. Ah. I've stayed there. No,
the last time I stayed at that place, that's a miniature castle that's dwarfed by these high skyscrapers.
Oh, the Excalibur.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's where I met Ron Jeremy.
Oh.
That place is really cool.
The Excalibur's
and,
okay.
And you can go to the spa for free if you stay at Excalibur.
And there's a glowy wizard guy on top of it. No, let me tell you about a little place called the El Cortez. The El Cortez, which is where the carpet is actually so thin you can see the concrete underneath. Mm-hmm. We have to break.
Yes.
Okay. And the cocktail waitresses are all 80. It's fantastic. All right, let's break. Bob Costantini coming up. We're going to talk about drunken Kennedys. And other stuff. Later on, Gary Baumgarten will throw something at David Blaine, who's floating in a tub of goo at Rockefeller Center, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on Friday. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. I'm a picture of a music That's, I guess that's what it is. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. Oh, no, it's not him. It's Porter Goss. Tall girl. Not. I'm just an allegation. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten from New York will be telling us about idiot magician David Blaine, who's floating in a tub of something or other. Rick, FYI, this is an allegation, by the way. This is from an anonymous email. The Porter Goss resignation is said to be tied to his alleged involvement in the...
I never know how to say that.
Alleged.
It's alleged. Mm-hmm. Like winged monkeys.
Okay.
Alleged involvement in the Big House member prostitutes... Big House member. The Big House member prostitute scandal currently unfolding in Washington. Is that true? Is there such a scandal? Well, apparently.
Well, apparently so. First I've heard of it, but it's not surprising.
Goss's spokespeople angrily denied this morning his spur-of-the-moment resignation had anything to do with the call girl parties regularly held at the Watergate Hotel. I'm just reading this off the page. This could be completely false, which is a pretty damn good indication the opposite is actually the true. I'm a new listener, and Emerson Mania is my new crack. I don't even know what that means. Keep it up. Emerson Mania. Is Emerson Mania like,
I think that's you, Rick.
I guess it is. Alright. Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Patrick Kennedy is entering treatment for addiction to prescription pain medication.
Fantastic.
Apparently he plans to seek treatment at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, immediately. He announced his decision to reporters at a Capitol News conference. He walked in alone, gripped the lantern, cleared his throat, and began haltingly. Kennedy, who has struggled with addiction and depression, said he had checked into the Mayo Clinic over the Christmas holidays and returned to Congress reinvigorated and healthy.
Now, didn't you say he's used cocaine in the past and punched a doorman or something?
He has acknowledged being treated for cocaine during his teenage years. By the way, he was born in 1967. He is the youngest Kennedy to be elected office, and that was to the Rhode Island State Assembly at the age of 21.
Let me ask you this about the Kennedys, because you're from that neck of the woods, as they say. Mm-hmm. Is it... is the love of the Kennedys, is it more that people like what they do, or is it just like this, is it really just an American equivalent of like the royal family? Is it just love of the dynasty?
Partially, and that they're Catholic. And New England is predominantly Catholic, just as Salt Lake City would be Mormon. So.
Really? And they're really...
Everybody wants to be like the Kennedys.
The cocaine and whores notwithstanding, they're very stridently Catholic, too.
And no family has given more to the American way than the Kennedys. As we say in prep school every morning.
I can't tell whether you're serious or not. Really?
I am dead serious.
Really? Do they have you received the whole... We hold these truths to be self-evident that the Kennedys are the... I mean, it really is... I mean, they're just... There's a fetish for the Kennedys in that part of the world.
Absolutely.
Well, what are you going to do? We got this about the El Cortez. Oh, somebody said the El Cortez is closed. Rick, I see, I haven't been to Vegas for a couple years. I've lived in Vegas, and unless they've rebuilt the El Cortez, it's been imploded. The next best cheap hotel to stay at is the Imperial Palace, or the few casinos off the Strip. I also learned the hard way, never, never hit on 20 when you play blackjack. Maybe that's when I moved back here. All right, so there you go. So there's the El Cortez, and then there was there's like the Sunset Station and the Palace Station, and there's all of it, like where Richard Cheese plays and where you can eat a pound of bacon with champagne for breakfast.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
Well, this is from Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara crime. We barely touch on this. But Santa Barbara police have arrested a man after he allegedly stabbed three other people in a fight over art. Two of the victims were kept overnight at Santa Barbara Cottage Hospital for observation. The third is being treated at the scene, and the wounds are life-threatening.
Sunflowers number three is the best!
This happened at Elsie's Bar on West Delagera Street yesterday. Carl Noon was having an intellectual discussion over the finer points of art when the discussion became quite heated when Noon allegedly pulled a knife and stabbed three men who disagreed.
Okay.
He tried to run, but the other bar patron subdued him and sat on him so police arrived.
Let's see. We've got the Joe on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Hey, listen. I wanted to tell you about something that during your story or through the wires not telling you about Patrick Kennedy.
Great.
Apparently, a couple rank and file street Capitol police, he hit the barricade. He didn't hit an embankment. He hit the barricade and almost crashed into a cop car or something like that.
Really?
And they wanted to administer a field sobriety test, but their supervisors heard what was going on, pulled them off, sent them back to the station house or whatever, and then drove Patrick Kennedy home. And the only way that anybody knew about it was that these rank-and-file guys went to their union representatives and then went public with it.
Otherwise, it's got to be the best and worst feeling when you pull over a celebrity like that. You know, it's like, I remember a couple years ago, there was like some guy in L.A. that pulled over Rodney King, you know, and it's like, do you remember, didn't Rodney King crash into a house a couple years ago?
Oh, probably. He's had a life of crime ever since.
He's an upstanding citizen. But these guys got called to the house, and it's like, and a guy drove an SUV into our house, and they come to the house, and it's Rodney King who drove through, like, the front of their living room, and the cops are like, screw it, we're not doing that, we're leaving, I'm not doing a damn thing.
Yeah, so, I don't think they so much pulled him over as he almost ran him over.
That's fantastic.
What it comes down to is the new guys that got on after 9/11, the old, kind of the old guard of the Capitol Police, that they... All they guard is the Capitol. They're not the actual Washington, D.C. police. They pretty much treat these congressmen like they're royalty, and the new guys are like, screw that. These guys are freaking just like the rest of them.
It'd be great. Wouldn't it be great to see a Kennedy doing a perp walk? That'd be fantastic. Just a Kennedy just bent over, wearing handcuffs, trying to put his sport coat over his head.
Oh, absolutely. I would freaking take pictures of that.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Joe.
In 2003,
right,
he drew fire from his critics when he declared, quote, I have never worked a bleeping day in my life, unquote.
Okay.
From his father comes this comment. He has taken full responsibility for the events that occurred and will continue to cooperate fully with any investigation.
Ted Kennedy's head is huge. We have to talk about Ted Kennedy's head.
Can you imagine how much alcohol that thing holds?
His head is just a big Avon decanter.
Like a big sponge, like you'd wash your car with.
He does look like one of those kids that you see in the special education ward that have to have a tube draining their skull all the time. It just looks like he's like SpongeBob SquarePants. I mean, that his head is massive. I mean, it's like he's storing a secret special extra head inside of it somewhere. His head looks like a huge bowling bag painted flesh color. And it's square and weird and lumpy, and it's got extra pouches.
He's been in office since the 60s.
I mean,
that's quite a few martinis afterwards.
It's got extra special compartments in it for holding your car keys or the wallets or the shoes or something. It's massive. Rick, Porter Gunn, listen again. We're juggling two political stories at once here. One is Porter Goss.
Yes.
One is Patrick Kennedy. And I wonder, the Kennedy one will, of course, win out at the end of the day as far as interest goes because it's a Kennedy and there's, you know, whatever. Yeah. Listen to this. Porter Goss is probably resigning because he's been implicated in that investigation involving the Watergate Hotel and lobbyists and, all caps, whores. Good thing the Republicans have brought back the moral
integrity.
That's
where Condoleezza Rice lives.
The Watergate? But so does Bob Dole. So does Monica Lewinsky.
Would you like to be the concierge?
Someday I want to go stay at the Watergate Hotel. Because I'm a tool. Someday I want to go stay. I want to do a whole tour of the Watergate Hotel. When we went to Washington, which was unimpressive, by the way, I should say that Washington D.C. was nothing.
You didn't go to the Smithsonian?
I went to the Smithsonian, but
that's
it's
fun.
I don't know. It's like, well, the Smithsonian is one of those things where you either got to take a month to do it all or just don't even go. Because it's like, we got like 2 days. And you can't,
what can you
see in 2 days?
You don't even get to see the Russian spaceships, those wash tubs riveted together that they send into outer space.
Washington's like a big charm bracelet. You know what I mean? Bunch of big things you can kind of look at, and then a whole bunch of just crime and sprawl and urban. And then our hotel room was terrifying. It's like gunshots outside the window. It's like we had a rental car. We didn't want to park anywhere. Like, we almost wanted to sleep in the car just to make sure that it wasn't going to be stripped and carjacked. The one great thing that I saw in D.C. is I saw the original Bill of Rights, which was fantastic. It was amazing. It was just an awe-inspiring moment to see the original Bill of Rights. Other than that, it was crap. But I do want to go see the Watergate at some point. I want to stay there. I didn't get to go. Rick, I rolled craps with some friends at the El Cortez about a year ago. There was this dude with really bad allergies who had lost $100 at the table and asked for some Kleenexes. They scrounged up a box and gave it to him. He tried to take the whole box since he kept sneezing and was still losing lots of cash, but they would only give him 2 Kleenex at a time. I guess the comp rate was like $20 a Kleenex. Listen to this. This is how great the El Cortez is. I'm so sad if it's really gone. That the El Cortez is so ghetto, we were getting cans of Corona. Cans of Corona with salt and a dried out lime given to us as we were rolling. Oh, God. It's a toss-up as to which place is more ghetto, the El Cortez or the Gold Spike. The Gold Spike, where you can play penny slots, vomit into your change bucket, and then reach on in and keep playing. True story, by the way. Oh, God. go in there and ask for a Mr. Porterhouse that garnishes 2 black olives and a tray of ice. Oh, that's fantastic. We got to do a whole show trip to Vegas one of these days. We'll get the, I bet CBS has money, they'll pay for that. We'll get the...
We've been talking about that for like 4 years.
Yeah,
now.
But the other companies hated us. CBS likes us, at least
this
week.
Let's ask them now while they still like us.
Let's ask us this week where the, after the corporate guys decided that they like our show. So anyway, yeah, we should ask the engineers about that. Sean loves Vegas.
Somebody really likes our show.
It's amazing. I didn't believe it myself, actually.
And every company we worked at, they've never liked our show.
They don't even know who we are most of the time. Like, we've walked around, and they just kind of go, and you are, you know, and they never even know us. So we'll walk around, like, at Entercom. We were at Entercom forever before anybody knew us.
Oh, my God. Guess who I ran into last night that just reminded me?
Jack Hutcherson?
Yes.
The general manager?
Yes, I did. I ran into...
I'm sorry. He is the co-general manager, allegedly.
I went to this opening of this new bar, and it was, like, Entercom Central. Everyone was there.
Did he ask you back?
Like, Jerome was there.
Did he?
I walked up with a smile on my face and shook the man's
hand. Did he ask you about kissing my ass?
No, because then somebody else started talking to me, and then he just kind of walked away.
Did you congratulate him on those great ratings that kissing? Oh, wait. Oh.
No, Jerome said they had some great ratings.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie. Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, tell him it's fantastic that Charlie's ratings continue to go up.
It's just like an iPod.
It's like an iPod with a slowly draining battery.
I have to say, I panicked, though, when I first saw him. I didn't really know what to do. I'm just going to say
What are you going to do? You know? Yeah. Hey, screw it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's like an iPod with sort of a leaky, broken display and a volume knob that...
Chewed up by the dog.
Just keeps draining. And a battery that can barely keep it sputtering alive. Oh, well.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
Continue.
It's 503-733-293. It's Rick Emerson Show. 293? I wasn't even giving somebody else a number. I was just... That was instant karma for making fun of Charlie. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there are reports out there claiming Anna Nicole Smith is pregnant. In response, Smith's lawyer and spokesman Howard K. Stern issued a statement that makes the matter as clear as a blurred sonogram image.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If Anna Nicole is pregnant, she obviously doesn't want anyone to know yet, Stern wrote in an email to the AP. If she's not pregnant, she's not denying the rumor because she thinks it's funny how much of a stir it's causing. She'll leave it up to you to guess which one it is. Maybe she can borrow Tom Cruise's machine to hitch up his wife.
I know you. Those are illegal now. Thanks to Tom Cruise, by the way. Next time we talk to, watch this, guys, Jim Roop will talk about this. In California, they have now made illegal home sonogram machines, and it's because of Tom Cruise.
Smith, by the way, is 38. She has a 20-year-old son, Daniel. She married Texas Oil Typhoon J. Howard Marshall II in 1994.
She married Typhoon.
She was 26, he was 89, and died.
Okay. I would still completely sleep with Anna Nicole Smith, and I know that should go without saying, but I feel like it has to be said. Just because all men my age, all men of my generation, will always love her. Doesn't matter how weird-looking she gets. We will always love her because to us, she will always look. We will always remember seeing her for the first time in a Guess Jeans ad. It's hard to believe now. You kids today, you don't know that Anna Nicole Smith, like who, you know what it is, Tim? It's like, where did I put?
Okay. I don't know.
Now I'm going to show you a picture now.
All right.
I know you can't see this because it's the radio, but I will explain it in a moment. Here's the picture. See, that's nothing good right there. That is the front
Liz's
of this week's
heart failing.
The front of this week's Inquirer, and Tim and I deduced. You get a chance. Go look at this week's Inquirer. Liz's heart failing. She looks exactly like Don Imus now. If you look at Don Imus on MSNBC in the morning, where he's got the bad makeup and he's old, like he looks like a leathery Bozo the Clown. He looks just like Liz Taylor. Liz Taylor used to be so unbelievably, stunningly, jaw-droppingly gorgeous. The key is to die young, or just to do the Betty Page and just vanish somewhere. It's so sad that Liz Taylor looks this way, and I know that, what are you going to do? You get older, she's like 100. But I mean, she was so beautiful. She was the very definition of beauty.
Yep.
That's how it is with Anna Nicole Smith. You kids today, you don't realize, you young people, that Anna Nicole Smith, there was a time when she was like the hottest single thing in the history of the world. And Sarah's like scrunching up her face as though she smells a bad odor.
No, I remember her. I would buy the magazines with her in the guest ads. And she's, you know, just another girl that you can't live up to when you're in sixth grade.
Every guy I know has the same story where you were flipping through the magazine and you flip by and then your brain went ding and you flip back and you were like, who is this girl? And then I don't think I have anymore, but I had all the Playboys when she was at first in Playboy. And I mean, she was assembled by someone very close to God, clearly. And so now it's all gone to hell, of course. But you know what? What are you going to do? It's like Barbara Eden. She's 100. I'd still do her. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's talk to former godlike program director Bruce Agler. How are you, sir?
Well, I thought I was doing pretty good, and I was going to call and talk to you about a couple of other things, which I may get to, but I really have a bone to pick with you now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I realize that at Intercom you may have not gotten any attention paid to you, but Fisher created the modern version of the Rick Emerson Show, for Lord's sakes. We're the one that brought you back from the wilderness.
Okay, no. To be fair...
And our general manager was a huge supporter of you. He is the one, in fact, who made it possible for you to get first Christina and later Sarah. He is the one who discovered them and provided them to us at no cost. He paid out of his own budget.
I do realize, as soon as we started talking about Intercom, I did realize, actually, that I was lumping Fisher in with Intercom, which I should not have done. It is true to say that without Fisher and yourself, Bruce Agler, Ron Carter, that we would not, the program would not exist, certainly wouldn't be any good.
Yeah, and it's not even just them. I mean, you probably never were aware of it, but all the way up to the very heights, to the corporate CEO were aware of your show and were big supporters of your show. Now, if they had ever actually heard your show, they probably would have been aghast at what we were telling.
They were big supporters of the completely inaccurate written description you gave them.
But your program would appear in the annual reports to the stockholders, and you'd be discussed at board meetings. Well, we have great expectations with 1080 in Portland after many struggling years because we have this new talent, you know.
All right. Okay. Well,
great new program.
It was wrong of me to paint with a broad brush just now. It really is just an Intercom thing.
Now, if you do decide to go to Vegas, my wife is pretty well wired in at the Rio. Maybe we can...
The Rio's great, and that's where they got the Penn and Teller thing, right?
That's where Penn and Teller, and that's where they do the World Series of Poker now.
Oh, they moved it from Binion's.
Yeah, well, they did the final table at Binion's. They did the whole thing at the Rio except the final table, and they did the final table at Binion's last year. I don't know this year whether they're doing the final table at Binion's or doing the whole thing at the Rio now.
All right, yeah, because my wife keeps nagging me to go to Vegas because it's been a couple years.
If you've ever been to the Rio, that's the great place with the masquerade parade in the sky.
Now, isn't it like way removed from everything else in the
right,
Rio?
Yeah, it's not on the strip, it's over by the Palms.
Yeah.
But that's the other cool thing about the Rio is that it's across the street from the Palms, so you can always go over to the Palms and, you know, hang out with the really the hoity-toity set over there.
The Binion's over by my house just sells eyeglasses.
Different Binion.
Oh, fantastic. No. To be fair, as I have noted on numerous occasions, but I will restate now for the record that Bruce Egler, Ron Carter, and Fisher Communications, they were the big supporters, creators, molders of the Rick Emerson
Show. And again, not just us, but the entire crew. I mean, you will never work for another corporation that will be discussing you at the highest echelon. I mean, do you think Leslie Moonves is discussing you at board meetings?
I'd like to think so. Yeah. I think he's just looking at an actuarial table to figure out when the top job is going
to
be.
To figure out how soon you're going to die?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you. It's Bruce Egler. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Sarah getting a text message as we speak. Oh, no. Phone call. Okay. Here's Tim Riley in the city desk.
Wendy Dershowitz may think twice before leaving that egg roll on her plate at the next Chinese buffet. The Des Moines woman, her boyfriend, and two youngsters were kicked out of a restaurant after managers accused her of leaving too much food on the plate. They told us we weren't welcome anymore. Well, she's a repeat customer at the Dragon House Buffet. We wasted too much food, but the buffet is all you can eat. And you know kids, they won't eat everything, so they throw it away. Well, the cashier says they take one bite and throw away. They take four egg roll and crab rangoon, one bite egg roll, and throw the whole plate away. That is wasting food. The Dragon House manager, Ken Cho, said his restaurant offers an all-you-can-eat buffet, not all you can waste. The family took food, didn't finish it, then piled up on the same food again. She done it too many times, he said.
You bring shame on the whole family!
All right, that's my only...
We would welcome her back when she respects food.
Okay. Don't worry about it. Sarah's had that look like she caught the end of the story. Don't worry about it. Here's the thing about an all-you-can-eat buffet. Did you ever notice this? You will skip eating the entire day. You're like, I'm going to go to that all-you-can-eat. I'm really going to lay away. And then you get like one plate and you're done.
And then because your stomach shrinks.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Should I be eating moderately throughout the day?
I believe so, yes, in small servings.
Yes, if you see people who are like an eating contest, that's why they drink so much water, because it stretches out their stomachs.
Really? Because I just fast, and that's probably the wrong thing then. Yeah, but especially go to the Mongolian Grill.
No, you're supposed to eat like every 4 hours. If you fast and then only have a meal once every like 6 hours, it's not good for you.
All right. So if I'm going to be going to a buffet, which I do every now and then.
There's one in the kitchen right now.
Well, I'm just saying it's like the Vegas thing. You're going to Vegas. Because I go to Vegas, man, and in Vegas, all rules are off in Vegas. I just try to get as many calories into myself as possible. So it's many, many small meals. How is the food in the CBS kitchen, by the way, Sarah?
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
Is it fantastic?
Yeah, they have it's a smorgasbord.
Okay.
So there's meat,
it's authentically
and beans,
Mexican.
Yeah, and guacamole and all kinds of toppings.
Okay.
And big squishy flour tortillas.
And it's because today's Cinco de Mayo, right?
Yeah.
That's because we're not doing a Cinco de Drinko thing. All right.
What can you do?
Rick, dude, this is from Mike. In Oregon, if you refuse a breathalyzer test, the following will happen. If you are a white female blonde, you will drive away with a potential date. If you are Spanish, you will go to jail. If you are black, you will be shot. Hope this helps. Mike in Portland. There you go.
That's true.
Mike himself, he's a Negro, though, so it's okay to laugh at that. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Attention, Sarah X. Dillon. Burps, slurps, and thirsty cries echoed across the Philippine capital yesterday as 3,738 mothers gathered to break the world's breastfeeding record. The large number of tired moms...
Imagine how many stretch marks are in that room.
Well, they're trying to promote breastfeeding in a country where many poor families believe expensive powdered milk is more nutritious.
And sore nipples. Why would you say that?
Because think of all those things latched onto there.
But 16,000 children die every year in the Philippines because their milk is mixed with dirty water.
Yeah, see, and here you are. Why do you hate children, Sarah? Why do you want babies to die?
I don't want babies to die.
Clearly you do.
No.
Denying them sustenance.
I'm doing my part by not having babies.
That is true. We are, on the Rick Emerson Show, it doesn't matter, see,
it's a childless program.
Child-free. I feel that I can be child, here, you want to antagonize people you know that have children, use the phrase child-free around them. Man, Lara's got a friend of hers that she actually snapped one day when Lara said, we're big believers in these, say that we are child-free. Childless makes it sound like it's a thing you've got to have, like you're armless or legless.
You're missing something.
You'll die alone.
Eaten by dogs, Bridget Jones style. But you talk about a legless veteran. Legless implies you had legs, and then not so much. We, though, are big fans of saying child-free because it notes that it is by choice. It's not that her insides are a barren, rocky place where my seed could find no purchase.
Oh, my God.
This is Planned Parenthood.
No, it's Planned Non-Parenthood. And, no, but she's child-free, and she has this friend of hers who's got, like, 80 kids who just snapped one day. And, quit saying child-free!
Really?
And clearly one of those women that you know just wants to go home and kill the kids and herself every night. Every night she goes home and it's like a chapter out of the...
That's why I just can't have children because I'm afraid I'd hate them.
I would... I know if I had children, I would kill them.
I'd resent them, yeah.
I would kill them. If I had children, I would lock them in a small steel box. And the next time you saw them, I would be... You know, I'd have those kids where they'd be 10 years old and a foot high. Because they would just... I'd just lock them and forget about them. And then they'd be... You know, you'd see me being dragged out of the house
and
handcuffed.
And the guilt. I mean, just even being away from Muppets so much, I feel so guilty all the time.
Oh, and like every time that... Oh, God, I know we're turning it that we sound like an idiot, annoying yuppies. I'm just saying, though, I know how mental I get over just having, like when I had a goddamn hedgehog, I had, like, every time the hedgehog would sneeze, I'm like, oh, we gotta take it to the vet. Like, to think of the money that I have put into various pets over the years, like, including my dog, taking my dog to Dove Lewis, like, three different times, because every time I leave the house, he eats a pound of thumbtacks or something, and I gotta take him with that. I can't even imagine how much money I'd be forking out for a kid, but... Yeah, so we are forbidden to use the phrase child-free around this woman. Because, you know, her whole life is clearly just one chapter from, like, the Yaya Sisterhood book, where she just wants to go home and drink herself into a coma every night. So, all right, well, let's do one more and then we'll break.
Well, Soprano star James Gandolfini took a tumble from his motor scooter and collided with a taxi, but is said to be unhurt. He's fine. His scooter's at the repair shop, says an HBO spokeswoman. Apparently, he was motoring along a street in Lower Manhattan when the accident occurred. He left the scene in another taxi and arranged for his crippled Italian scooter to be picked up and fixed.
It should be noted, by the way, that Scotty J is attempting to do preemptive damage control, and he's claiming that this photo I've got of him... I don't even know that he knows which photo it is.
Yeah, this is... Oh,
you
got, show it.
You
yeah.
Ever see... Okay, okay. Well, hold on. Let me bring up the page here. Hold on. Okay, so Scotty J... who's our intern who is screening calls today, by the way. I would encourage you to call now and to keep him occupied for the next, 2 minutes or so. Call and tell him a limerick. So a friend of his, an alleged friend, sent this photo of him in. I'm bringing it up right now. And all I have to do, it's ready to post. All I have to do is actually press the, the post button. And
are we supposed to wait for this?
No, I'm waiting. I'm here so I can... Okay.
Oh, no.
I'd like you to look at that photo. I'm covering the door so you can't see. Okay, Sarah, come and take a look at this photo of Scotty J.
Oh, my God.
Now, I told Sarah this morning, if that photo of you was posted, you would kill yourself.
Where did you... Why?
A friend of his sent that to me.
Is that Christmas?
I don't know.
It looks like a Christmas tree in the background.
It does look like a Christmas tree.
Oh, maybe he's wearing Christmas gifts. Or a Christmas gift.
Well, his underwear's kind of Christmas colored.
Got a marble bag for Christmas.
Maybe that is the Christmas gift.
Is that how he looks when he's when he's not wearing his, or when he's wearing his glasses?
I don't really know. All right.
Oh.
Okay, there you go. So that's good time.
Oh, Scotty.
Yeah,
that guy will never get laid again if
no,
he posts that.
No, so all I have to do is just wait for him to wrong me in some fashion. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Jim Rube, I keep saying that.
You're like the mom who can't remember the kids' names?
It's totally. Wayne, Bob, Dave, Angie, Jim. God damn it, get up here. Gary Baumgarten from New York will be calling us a little later on from CNN Radio. David Blaine's apparently suspended in the tub of goo somewhere. We're going to find out what that's all about. Scott Daly is going to be here from Film Fever Radio. We'll go to the news pile and so forth. We'll try to get to the top five as well today. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rick Emerson Show. Take a break. Back after this. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't go anywhere. Back in a moment.